This 570 WWNC podcast is brought to you by Applied Solutions Group, web solutions and information technology for your business. Visit them at www.appliedtns.com.
The following takes place between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Let me have your attention for a moment.
Stay calm.
What is it?
A life form of its own.
Head straight for us.
Be afraid. The
voice on the radio.
More than just a man.
This is something much.
Everything will be all right.
More dangerous.
Dangerous.
Stand by to transmit.
Receiving you. Over.
Now hear this.
Buckle your seatbelt.
Take a stand with Matt Mattel.
Rock and roll.
Woo-hoo!
To get in on the conversation, dial 240-9962 or toll-free 800-570-9962. Now, live from the Matt Cave, it's Matt Mattan.
Good day, one and all. Welcome to the third and final hour of a Tuesday edition of Take a Stand. I am your happy and humble host, Matt Mattan. Agnes Cheek is the engineer and producer of the program. And, you know, it's a little bit over 24 hours since I gave out that reading assignment. Yesterday was the anniversary. It was July 6th in 1775 that the Declaration of Arms was signed by the Continental Congress in Philadelphia, full year before the Declaration of Independence. Yet that document's not taught in the schools, and it's much more powerful and very, very, very effective in its articulation of the fundamental freedoms and liberties that they ended up dying for, to preserve and to protect and to secure for future generations. The assignment I gave out yesterday was to check out the Declaration of Arms. Read it. It is a tough read. You know, they were a lot smarter back then with that old English than we are today. But to pass it along to at least one other person and introduce them to the Declaration of Arms. Have you done it? Slackers. I'll tell you what, I'll extend the deadline. We're going to start taking points off of their report card, but we'll extend the deadline another 24 hours. Google Declaration of Arms, read it, and then pass it along to at least one person. All right, we have in the studio with us representatives from the Constitution Party of North Carolina, Michael West, who's the Mountain Director, and Al Pisano, who's the State Director for the Constitution Party of North Carolina. We've spent the last hour talking about the birth of the Constitution Party in North Carolina, why you guys wanted to get organized and start growing this new party in the state. We went through the platform. We talked about ballot access in the state of North Carolina, which is amongst the worst in not only the country, but the world, which is pretty stunning. But I wanted to revisit for people that are just tuning in. We usually do a 5 o'clock hour recap. And since you guys have agreed to stay through a little bit longer here so we can take some more phone calls, is that the platform for the Constitution Party is this: anti-socialism. All right, and we expanded on each of these items in the last hour, so if you missed it, you can check out the website for the podcast a little bit later. National sovereignty, pro-Second Amendment, property preservation of private property rights, traditional family, religious freedom, and also sanctity of life were the main items on the Constitution Party of North Carolina's essential core values and platform. As we start this hour of the program, gentlemen, I want to let everybody know the phone lines are open right from the very start. So if you have a comment or a question, you can call in right now. 240-9962 is the number in Asheville. Everywhere else, toll-free, 1-800-570-9962. I wanted to ask you, as far as platforms, and this is just my own little thing about parties. I think that for a lot of people in the Libertarian Party, part of the problem that they run into is that it's people that are opposed to parties and their influence over the political process trying to change it by getting involved in a political party in the political process. Based on the conversations we've had so far, is that something that you run into with the Constitution Party where, you know, in order to meet these goals, it actually would mean the abolition of the party at some point along the way? If you're really talking about individual empowerment and individual self-determination, parties are kind of counterproductive to that in most cases throughout history in the United States.
Well, you're right. But one of the things is what you do get, or you should get with a party, is be able to go and look what they stand for and say, okay, I agree with what these individuals are for. Therefore, I would like to donate my private property through my personal finances to them to further this agenda. We know George Washington warned against political parties, but the reality is we have them. And if you don't have a political party, if you stand out there as an independent, what do you stand for as an independent? Okay, so the practicality is that if you do have a party that says right up front what everybody in that party stands for and what the candidates that are selected from that party that are running, what they stand for, then you got a good idea when somebody comes up to you and says, well, I'm a Libertarian or I'm a Constitution Party person, you have a pretty good idea what they stand for.
Well, see, I would counter to that George Washington didn't so much warn about political parties as he did about the influence and the control and manipulation of political parties. Have an opposition to people, you know, associating however they want to, you know, affiliate however you want to with organizations, private groups, or anything else, political or otherwise. What I have a big problem with is the political parties controlling the process of governance. You know, where they define access to the ballot, where they define how you vote and who you can vote for, where they define by parties, they'll define what rules are set in place for the debate on issues and amendments and assignments to committees and everything. We don't have a representative government in this country right now. We just don't.
No, you're right. We don't.
And so for me, that's the real beef about political parties. Be in any party you want. Two things, though. One, don't be taking any taxpayer dollars for what you're doing, because you're a private organization. If you want to have primaries, pay for them yourself and then put the person on behalf of your party onto the ballot equally access-wise to anyone, any other law-abiding citizen that wants to be on that ballot under any label or no label. The other thing is don't have a separate set of rules for you because you're part of this elite political party and other citizens that follow the law, pay their taxes, and are otherwise eligible constitutionally, except for they don't meet your political definition in a party.
I've been a Republican, or I was a Republican for a long time, and I used to get letters in the mail telling me that if I gave $2,500 or if I gave $10,000, what level of access I would have to the government. I would go to a dinner with George Bush. I would go to a dinner with members of my congressional delegation, all of which I had to pay for. So our government should not be for sale.
Right.
Absolutely. And I just want to say that when you explained, just like you did, about the political parties and the influence of political parties, you fall right in line with what the Constitution Party believes.
All right, well, let's find out if our callers do. Okay. Phone lines are open. 240-9962 is the number in Asheville. Everywhere else, toll-free, 1-800-570-9962. We've got Jim from Rockingham back on the line, and so this time we still have you. So get your comments or questions in here. Thanks for calling Take a Stand.
Thank you, Matt. I would just like to say one remark first and then a question on the issue about government and the Bible and God and so forth. The reason we're in the mess we're in right now is because our government hasn't followed the principles of the Bible, the Ten Commandments. If they had, we wouldn't be in this mess. That's just a personal comment for myself. I have a question for Al Pizzano. They're telling us in North Carolina that the Real ID Act is on hold. But from what I see, it's pretty much waiting for the lever to be pulled down and put in action in North Carolina. Is that something we should still be concerned with and very watchful and still talking to our elected officials in Congress and the Senate and really stay on top of this to keep that from happening? Because I think that is a real abuse of the federal government to really, where they can really get into our private lives and really control us. What do you think about that, Mr. Pizzano?
Jim, I agree with you. I think that, not only should we be contacting our representatives, we ought to be screaming about this. This is abominable to think that we should have to prove who we are as free and American citizens. Now, they used to do that in a country where you had to prove who you were and have papers to travel and stuff like that. And I remember a little guy with a mustache was in charge of that government over in Germany. Most totalitarian governments want to control and track the movements of their people. And I think that this is insane for free Americans to even be considering this. And it's all being packaged under the guise of security and anti-terrorism. Well, if that's the case, you're always going to have criminals. You're always going to have people that blow up buildings. But having an ID with all your information on it is not going to solve the problem. There's a guy right here in Asheville, Mr. Jim Palmer, for the North Carolina Real ID he's got a group up here, and he's been fighting like a pit bull trying to inform the state legislature to reject this. Now, from what I understand, there is another bill, more nefarious bill coming out that would be like the Real ID Act on steroids. This is a real dangerous thing, and I wish North Carolinians would realize how dangerous it is that as a free citizen, you have to prove everything to your government, and they have to know everywhere you go and what you do and what you purchase, and without that, you can't travel or get on a plane or anything else. I think it's insane.
All right. Did you have a follow-up, Jim?
No, I think that's great. That explained it to me real well because I've been concerned about this for some time. My wife's new driver's license she got last year had the emblem on the back of it already. And, you know, to me, they're just ready to pull a hammer down. And we've got a governor right now that would oblige them if it got through our House and Senate. And he would gladly put this on us, I'm sure, because it's a push by, from what I see, from the administration, Obama administration, looking at the... you know, the mandatory service of young people and so forth. To me, this is all why people can't see what's going on in America. I don't understand.
All right, I appreciate
it. People are sitting back on their honkers and waiting for somebody else to do something. It's time we get up and start doing something right now other than just going to tea parties. We need
I hear the music there. I'm up on a break. Thanks for the call, Jim. I do appreciate you making that second attempt. We'll continue with our guests from the Constitution Party on Take a Stand right after this.
That was good, Al.
This is a hit!
Welcome back to You Take a Stand. Let's check in with Captain Jeff Ogram for a time saver traffic update.
Currently wrapping up two accident investigations, Matt. First one's going to be south side. It's going to be on NC 280 Airport Road right there at McDonald's at exit 40, just up off the I-26 side. Second one's going to be in Woodson on the Weaverville Road right there at Jimmy's Automotive. No new accidents to pass on to you. We will have a lane reduction westbound on I-26, the old 1923 North. Starts this evening at 6 p.m. right between Newbridge and Newstock. Come midnight tonight, they're going to flip over to the eastbound side of the 1923 southbound. And again, that's going to be a lane reduction for you folks from midnight to 6 a.m. That same stretch of highway. With your Harry's Body and Fender Time Saver traffic, I'm Jeff Ogram, News Radio 570 and 1400 The Peak.
All right, thank you, Captain Jeff. And I want to extend an invitation for you to visit 131 Main, Asheville's newest dining sensation. And, you know, I wanted to point something out to people. People that have been listeners of the program know this, that have been with me for some time now. But I'm pretty discreet about who I choose to accept as sponsors or not. I don't know if everybody knows this, but one of the early perks with the success of the show that I exercised was the ability to veto sponsorships. I said, you know, I'm not just going to be some monkey on a rope here that can, you know, be bought to just promote anybody who shows up with a little thing of cash. And that was not super embraced at first, you know, because that put a couple of salespeople in difficult situations where I turned down some possible sponsorships, said, I've had bad experiences there, or I didn't think it was up to the quality that I expected to be able to invite our listeners to participate in their business, whatever it was. And that caused a few ruffles at first. But what it also did is it started to build that credibility that when I invite you to check out a place or when I'm talking about something, it's because I sincerely believe in the quality of their service, their product, and their business model and the people that are there. And 131 Main is one of those places. I don't talk about them unless I believe in what I'm talking about. And if you have visited 131 Main, then you know firsthand why what I'm saying is true. Because if you have visited there, you have also become a spokesperson for them. It's just that good. The service is unparalleled, the dining is exquisite, and the atmosphere is wonderful. 131 Main is located in Biltmore Park, just off of Long Shoals Road. Stop by and give them a visit. You'll be glad that you did. Let's go back to the phone lines now, and we have our guests from the Constitution Party of North Carolina in the studio with us, Michael West and also Al Pisano. And John, you're up. Welcome.
Hey, I've been following the Constitution Party, I guess, for the last couple of years or so. And when I read their platform, I was really excited about what I read. So I started getting some emails from them on the North Carolina side. And a lot of emphasis was put on Christianity. Now, I'm not opposed to Christian views because I'm a Christian myself, but the emphasis was placed really hard on that aspect of it. And it just... it didn't sit right with me, as far as being on, as far as all the literature that's put out by the Constitution Party. Again, I'm really excited about the party, but that one particular aspect just bothers me a little bit, and I just wanted to make that comment.
All right, John, let's give our guest a chance to respond.
Well, John, I don't know about the Christian aspect or where the emails were coming from. You know, individuals in the Constitution Party, their opinions are respected, and if they send out emails listing those things, well, that's something that we respect. Everybody has a right to do that as long as it's not slanderous or causing any, you know, problems with somebody else. As far as officially from the Constitution Party of North Carolina sending out things of Christianity, if that's happened, that shouldn't be happening, except that we are acknowledging that the government's foundation was based on Christian values and principles, okay? We're not saying that, once again, I can assure you that we are not trying to instill any sort of theocracy through the Constitution Party on any state government. I would encourage you to go ahead, as I would all North Carolinians, I hope you all get a copy of it. It's hard to find, but you can get one, and in the Constitution Party of North Carolina, we have them available. But please go to the North Carolina State Constitution and start reading that. What we do for the Constitution Party of North Carolina is we follow what the Constitution of North Carolina says, and we follow a lot of the writings of what the Founding Fathers said discussing this issue.
Yeah, the state constitution is very, very much replete with references to God and Christianity and everything. In fact, one requirement in the state constitution is that if you deny the existence of God, you can't serve in public office.
That's absolutely correct.
And I'm not opposed to the values and the origin of the Constitution and about the Founding Fathers being involved in Christianity. It just seemed like it was focused more on a party for Christians than a party for any other religion.
Well,
I guess that's what had bothered me.
Well, and John, and I'll back you up on this too. I was talking to Agnes before our guest came in, and I said, you know, the first time I ever talked to someone from the Constitution Party was actually a few years ago from the national office. And I told Agnes before you guys came in, I said, my impression was that what John's saying, it was a very Christian-oriented political party, which, you know, a lot of the things the Constitution Party nationally was talking about, I was on board with, but I was concerned about a political party that centralized itself around a religious denomination, you know, or a belief, a specific religion. And that was a perception that I had a few years ago of the national party. So, John, I'm just saying that's a conversation Agnes and I had before they came on, so I'm just kind of validating that I had the same perception early on as well.
Well, as did I.
And I appreciate it. Listen, I'm going to hang up.
Thanks a lot.
I'm on my way home.
All right, thanks for the call, John.
As did I, initially. And like I said, when I start reading the North Carolina Constitution, start reading the Founding Fathers' documents and writings themselves, and, you know, realize that, well, no, these guys mention God quite a bit. And as the chairman, like I said, and all the executive committee, we're committed to making sure that there is no theocracy. But we think that it's disingenuous and offensive not to mention God, because that's what the Founding Fathers did. That's what our very own North Carolina State Constitution states in there. We're not ashamed that we mentioned that. But as far as any sort of theocracy, are we trying to push any particular religious faith or belief down anybody's throat? Absolutely not.
All right, let's go to the phone lines again. Jay, welcome.
Hi, Matt. I would like to know how they feel about the war we've declared against 1,000
citizens. Say, we lost you on the last part. The war against what?
Against one-third of our own citizens.
Are you talking about the war on drugs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That gets an oh, yeah, an amen on that
one. Domestic oppression at its best.
All right. The Libertarian Party, which comes on the show pretty regularly from the state, from the state directors, executive directors or anything, very outspoken about the war on drugs. What about the Constitution Party? Where's their stand on that issue?
Well, the stand is we don't think that the federal government should be involved in that issue. Unless, of course, it is the international transport of banned substances, narcotics, into the country. The federal government does have authority to decide what kind of items come in and out. For the most part, we think that it is more of a states' rights issue. I think we're probably along the line of Ron Paul with that. It's more of a states' rights issue. So with that, we leave it up to the individual states.
All right, and next on the phone lines for our members of the Constitution Party leadership here in the studio with us is Brad. Welcome to Take a Stand.
Hey, Matt. How you doing, man?
Doing well, thank you.
I just wanted to chime in. I don't know if I appreciate these guys' stand, and I just wanted to mention, I don't know how many people have seen it, but we went to Washington last fall, and we had the tour of the Capitol and that kind of stuff. But when we went in, I had never known this, and nobody ever had told me, but I don't know if anybody knows this much, but when we went in, all the different busts, side views of the different people's faces up in the, around the top, near the top of the ceiling there, in the area where the Congress meets and deliberate and all that. And if the president, all those busts are different people like Benjamin Franklin and Washington and all these different people, then they're all a side view, and they're about as big as probably a beach ball. And they go all along the side of the walls, but there's one in the very center. If the president was given the State of the Union address, for instance, and he looked up, straight up at that one right there, it's the only one that is a solid bust of a face of a person and not a side profile. You know who that is? It's Moses. Hmm. Moses.
Now, I'm surprised that hasn't been targeted for removal yet.
Well, I think it has.
Oh,
well,
has
right
it?
Behind the speaker is still, In God We Trust as well. And again, it's just I find it appallingly crazy, again, that we're allowing, as a Christian, we're allowing our nation to go that far. And I appreciate these men and what you just said. Sure, it sounds like they are taking up that more of the Christian faith in the Constitutional Party, but that's where it really is, you know. And no matter what you do, no matter how you want to change it, you can't change some things. I mean, when you look at anything, if you look at a bird, it's a bird. If you look at an elephant, it's an elephant. You can call an elephant a bird, but it's not a bird. It's an elephant. And when we get back to those roots, we'll be okay. And it's like the prayer and, you know, this prayer issue and all this stuff. Somebody said they didn't have a problem praying at Columbine High School. Prayer wasn't taken out of Columbine High School after the shooting. There was a whole lot of prayers in Columbine High School during the shooting and after the shooting, when these kids were hunkered down under tables, and when the parents came to see if their child was alive or dead, there was a whole lot of praying because they didn't know, because the cops were still in there. They didn't know if they were going to get their kid in the body bag. So there was a whole lot of praying going on.
All right,
so we don't mind praying when the bull stops when the junk's out.
I've got to hit this break. I appreciate the call, and thanks for the passion in what you had to say and asserting yourself very effectively. Thank you, Brad. All right, and we'll continue again. And we've said they agreed to stay on here from the Constitution Party and take all the calls that came in, and we still have calls coming in. So we'll continue right after this on Take a Stand.
Take a Stand.
Welcome back to Take a Stand. We check in again with Captain Jeff Ogram for a time saver traffic update.
And we do have an accident for folks traveling in the Oakley area this afternoon. It's going to be Fairview Road right there at the East Asheville Resource Center. Be very careful, personnel not on scene yet. Two earlier accidents we passed on to McDonald's there on Airport Road at exit 40, as well as on the Weaverville Road at Jimmy's Automotive. Both those accidents have been cleared. Going to be dealing with lane reductions, though, as you're traveling throughout the overnight hours. Starting this evening at 6 p.m. for some bridge work being done, affecting us on 1923 North, the new I-26 West. That'll take us into the midnight hour. Come midnight till 6 a.m., going to flip it over to the eastbound side, or 1923 South, again between New Bridge and Newstock. And with your Harry's Body and Fender Time Saver Traffic, I'm Jeff Ogram, News Radio 570 and 1400 The Peak.
All right, thank you, Captain Jeff. And our guests in the studio, Michael West, Mountain Director for the Constitution Party of North Carolina, and Al Pisano, who is the State Director for the Constitution Party. It was going to be a one-hour conversation. It has turned into a two-hour conversation. Might as well commit that we're going to go through the top of the hour, the end of the show. And I just wanted to ask you before we get back to the phone calls, and Chris, you'll be first up, but as you travel around the state, Al, and you talk to different people, and you've been on a few radio shows and everything, as the Constitution Party's getting its feet under it here and getting organized in the state of North Carolina. Is this similar to the kind of reaction you've had of interest to dialogue and debate different things from people around the state?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's just been incredible. Basically, these are not our ideas. And these are just ideas that we are bringing out front again. Like I said, the Founding Fathers had it right. That message rings true with people. We've not heard a lot about it. We've not seen it active in our government. But when people take the time to read the Declaration of Independence and really read it, to read the Constitution, the structure of government, the limits put on it, to read their Bill of Rights and understand what they were about, it's not something that we are having a hard time selling. I'm not a salesman. I couldn't sell it, but yet people are responding to the message. I'm not the messenger. I'm just the messenger. The message was already written down by those brilliant men way back when. We're just bringing it out front.
All right, and again, the website, if you want to find out more information for the Constitution Party of North Carolina, it's really easy, constitutionpartync.com is the website. All right, let's go back to the phone lines now, and Chris, thank you for being patient.
Hey, Matt. Gentlemen, I'd like to sort of give you an idea. I think I am really leaning towards a constitutional party. I am a Republican. I've been trying to tell the Republicans in North Carolina that we need to bring in independence. But if I might give you all maybe an idea to look at, as the Constitution Party, I think what would be really great is to say, we are the Constitution Party. But if you are an unaffiliated voter or an independent, and you can have complete and unfettered access to the political process as far as the constitutional party goes. In other words, you can, if you're an independent, you can come canvass, you can be involved in the political process with us, because with independence being, and Matt, you'll have to help me, I think the second largest voting block
in Asheville.
In Asheville,
right?
I think
quickly
that
catching
would be
up on a statewide level to
the
other
Constitution
parties.
Party is to involve independents and non-affiliateds and allow them to be in the process of building this party, but to still remain an independent or an unaffiliated. I think that would be huge. I think you would see a groundswell of support.
By actively inviting unaffiliated voters and independents to join.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry, sir. Basically, right now, the way the Constitution Party set up, that we all, including myself, are unaffiliates because we are not officially recognized as a party in North Carolina as far as ballot access.
Yet.
Right. Yet. We will be soon. The way things are going and how people are wanting to see us get on the ballot, we think we will be soon. So, yeah, if you're unaffiliated, I am officially registered as unaffiliate because I can't sign as a member of the Constitutional Party of North Carolina.
So, well, yeah. even when the party is recognized as a party, I think that if it's, you know, I mean, we can't make the Republicans and we can't make the Democrats, and I say we because I am really seriously looking at the Constitutional Party. Just what little bit I've heard, you know, I will do some further research. You can't get them to change the process. But as a party, as a party, I think it would, to have independence and unaffiliated people to be able to be involved in the process, I mean, I just think it'd be huge. I mean, it would make the Constitution Party would become a national. I mean, it'd be huge.
All right.
It would be definitely a viable.
All right. Thanks.
Even when you're recognized.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Let's give them a chance to respond.
Well, I'd just like to say that anybody that's willing to help us preserve our constitutional rights is more than welcome. You don't have to sign a lifelong participation thing. Just come and help.
You don't have to give a pint of blood?
Not a pint of blood, nothing. Just help us get the message out that we want to keep our Bill of Rights.
Well, see, and let me say this, too. As far as the Constitution Party, or if it's the Libertarian Party or the Green Party, anybody who wants to have a party, they ought to have the equal access to the ballot as anyone else.
Absolutely.
Republicans and Democrats should not have special favoritism within the law in order to get on the ballot. They're not better citizens or taxpayers than everybody else who follows law and pays taxes, yet they have a special consideration when it comes to getting on the ballot. So if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, if you're unaffiliated, if you privately are Green Party, Libertarian Party, Constitution Party, Socialist Party, whatever it might be, if you're for ballot access, you should sign the petition to get the Constitution Party on the ballot. I don't care what party you affiliate with, or if you adamantly disagree with them, but you believe that all citizens should have equal access to our electoral process, then sign that petition for the Constitution Party to be on the ballot.
Well, absolutely. And anybody can go around and download the petition. Like I said, basically, if you're soliciting signatures in Buncombe County, make sure that the petition says Buncombe County on it. Turn it into the local Board of Elections. They'll verify it. But there's also North Carolina's for Free and Proper Elections. They've got their own website, and they're trying to fight for ballot access for everybody,
mm-hmm.
to break down these barriers, to give North Carolinians their right under the North Carolina Constitution, the right to have free elections. And so this organization is working towards that also. If you go to our website, there are three levels of membership listed on our website. You can read those. We do have a membership pledge that you have to acknowledge, that you could read that on the website and download it. If you agree with what level of membership you agree with, it basically includes anybody that wants to somehow be affiliated with us. And you can go ahead and do that. And I encourage everybody to read those carefully and decide if one of those members of levelship or something you'd like to be involved in.
All right. And the website, again, constitutionpartync.com. Before we go to this break, Agnes has an update. We got some information out of Raleigh on the windmill ban legislation bill.
Yes. From the News and Observer, it says the legislators have postponed the vote on the wind power ban. It doesn't say when they're going to vote on it, but they have postponed it for now.
In other words, there were enough people complaining about it that they decided they didn't want to go on record today.
Yeah. It even says, we heard from a lot of people in the mountains who supported the bill in its original form, I guess before the ban was supposed
before
to take
place. Height restrictions or something. All right, well, we'll continue to follow that, and we'll continue our conversation here on Take a Stand with members of the Constitution Party of North Carolina right after this. Stay tuned.
This is Take a Stand.
Welcome back to Take a Stand. Let's check in one last time today with Captain Jeff Ogham for a time saver traffic update.
No new accidents to pass on to folks, and the other accidents have been cleared for follow-up investigations. Solving the traffic news, going to be lane reductions throughout the overnight hours, starting here in about five more minutes as you're traveling northbound on 1923, the United 26 West. Again, bridge work going to have us down to a single lane of travel between New Bridge and New Stock between 6 p.m. and 12 midnight on that northbound side. Southbound 1923, the new I-26 East, going to have that same lane reduction down to a single lane of travel from midnight until 6 a.m., again between New Stock and New Bridge itself. And with your Harry's Body and Fender Time Saver traffic, I'm Jeff Ogham, News Radio 570 and 1400 The Peak.
All right, thank you, Captain Jeff. And also want to invite everyone once again to visit my favorite watering hole, which is such an understatement of the quality of the dining and the service at 131 Main, to stop by and enjoy the lunch, the dinner, or even the Sunday brunch. They have Sunday brunch available right now, and Agnes is typing up on my screen right now, French press coffee, smiley face. I'm not making it up. Here, you can even attest to that, Michael. See it right there? She did. It's French press coffee, smiley face. And her 9-year-old also endorsed the best burger ever.
She did.
So, everything from fine dining to fine burgers that you will never forget. So 131 Main is definitely the place you want to go. And say you want to impress potential clients, or you want to bring that special friend or loved one and really make a lasting impression that will give you rewards and benefits for some time, 131 Main is the place to go. It's in Biltmore Park, right there at the entrance to the Biltmore Grand Theater, just off of Long Shoals Road, which is right next to I-26. So there's no reason to not find it. All right, so let's continue our conversation here. We've got guests with us from the Constitution Party of North Carolina. Al and Michael, thank you again for accommodating the callers of Take a Stand and staying an extra hour. I know you drove up from Charlotte, is that right?
That's today? Correct, yeah.
Drove in from the Queen City, and we appreciate you spending extra time here with us in Western North Carolina today. Let's go to the phone lines. Grady, welcome.
Thank you, Matt, and good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two quick questions. Number one, I missed the first part of the show, and would your starting the Constitutional Party, your goal or purpose be to become a viable party to make a difference in government, locally, statewide, and nationally? And if so, what makes you think that you can compete or make a difference with the two juggernauts that are already there running things?
Well, yeah, we think that we can. Grady, I wouldn't be doing this. I volunteer. I spend a lot of my own money doing this, and so does everybody else that's been involved. So, yeah, we believe that. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be doing it. So, and that's pretty much the attitude of everybody that's been joining with us on that issue. We think that we will get on with the national. On the national level, they're involved. Are they're on the ballots in like 38 states the last time I checked, or 40 states. So there is a national, we do have national candidates. The last presidential candidate was Mr. Chuck Baldwin from Florida. He was the presidential candidate for the Constitution Party of North Carolina.
I believe we had him on the show too.
Oh, did you really?
I think so.
Yeah. So yeah, we do believe that. As far as your other question, where you talked about what is our chance against the two big parties there, we go back to looking at the back before the Civil War. In 1854, a party was basically got together. They ran a candidate in the 1856 election. They lost. But in the 1860 election, they ran the candidate, and he won. That man was Abraham Lincoln. That party that was the startup party only 6 years before that was the Republican Party at the time. So even in that election, though, there were more than two presidential candidates. Do we think it can be done? If Americans want it to happen and are willing to do something, yeah, we think it can be done, and we think it should be done.
All right. Any follow-up, Grady?
If I could just add, and then I'll get off. I agree with a lot of your platform and would be supportive of it. And but also on what your statements, you know, we don't live in a country that was like it was back then. We had more patriots, I believe, and more people loyal to America building it up and not tearing it down. But I support you and will probably vote for you because the other parties have failed me. And just keep up the good work. And thanks again, Matt.
All right. Thank you, Grady. Chance for some closing statements. What impression do you want to leave with the people across Western North Carolina and beyond today?
Well, what I really want to leave North Carolinians with, especially in this part of the state, because I know them, is be willing to stand up. Don't take what's been going on here. Hold your officials accountable to the Constitution when they're voting things. I know Western North Carolina, I went to school at Western Carolina University, and the North Carolinians, this part of the state, are very independent-minded. Look at what we have to say. Our motto for this party is principle over politics. We will hold our candidates to that motto. We'll hold them accountable to us if they start straying from our seven essential core values and the Constitution. If that's a party that you would like to see on the ballot, start standing up, start telling the people in Raleigh, you as a North Carolinian want to have your right to choose different political candidates.
All right, ConstitutionPartyNC.com is the website. Thank you, gentlemen, again for being with us, and travel safely back to the Queen City.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's going to do it for Take a Stand. Sean Hannity up next on these stations. Stay tuned.